Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Research at the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. I want to welcome our callers and chatters to Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This show will provide individuals interested in genealogy an opportunity to listen, learn, and take action. You can join me every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where I will have a wonderful lineup of experts who will share resources, stories, and answer your burning genealogy questions. All of my guests share a deep passion and knowledge of genealogy and history. If you have logged in as a guest and wish to participate in the chat, you can sign in through your Facebook account or through Blog Talk Radio. I will also open the lines in the second half of the show so that you can ask questions of the guests. Well, I have a question for you. Have you ever wondered if your surnames are unique to a particular region of the country? Well, I know I have, and I've often Googled my surname just to see where that surname is clustered. I also posted my surname on AfroGenius, and to my wonderful, wonderful surprise, I connected with my kin. I also connected with Stephanie Martin Quiet about 5 years ago, not in Louisiana, but Denver, Colorado. I was searching for information on the Florida parishes and specifically looking for African-American researchers. And to my great surprise, I would always come up with Stephanie's name. Well, Stephanie is a native of Baton Rouge, has lived in Denver, and presently resides in New Orleans. For Stephanie, what began as a search for her own identity has grown into an ultimate goal of documenting as many African Americans from the Florida parishes as possible for future researchers. Stephanie is manager of the African American Archives for the Louisiana Genealogy Project and has submitted work to AfroGenius and to Christine's genealogy websites. She is also published in the Louisiana Genealogical Register. Though she submits files from throughout Louisiana, she primarily researches the Florida parishes of southeast Louisiana. She maintains and constantly adds information to a 10,000-plus names database from those parishes. Her surnames are Addison, Jackson, Banks, Martin, and Quiet. Well, let me give a warm welcome to Stephanie Martin Quiet. Stephanie, are you on?
I'm on. Good evening. How's everyone doing tonight?
Well, Stephanie, I hope everyone is doing well, and I'm really glad that you're online, but I have to admit, I am jealous.
Why?
I'm jealous because you're in New Orleans, and you're getting ready for the Mardi Gras.
Oh, and I'm so excited. We have Endymion next week, which runs right in front of my church, so that's a great fundraiser for us. But then on Mardi Gras Day, I'm going to barbecue at my house because I'm on the Zulu route, so we're looking to have some big fun.
Oh, boy, you're going to bring back some memories there. You're going to have any gumbo, a shrimp
gumbo,
or some red beans and rice?
We're going to have all that. And then I have a wonderful neighbor who is Miss Marie, who's about 80 years old. She's from Puerto Rico. So she's been introducing me to all of this Puerto Rican food. So it's going to be traditional food, and then it's going to be what she cooks, and she's really good at it.
Oh, dear. Well, save me something, and can I say throw me something, miss?
You can say throw me something. Yeah, you can say throw me something, mister, and my boys are telling me you have to freeze me something, Mom, and send it to us.
Oh, yeah. Well, freeze me something, too.
Okay.
Well, Stephanie, please help everyone understand exactly where the Florida parishes are located in Louisiana.
Okay, so the Florida parishes are located in South Louisiana. They include St. Helena, Livingston, Cantabahoa, East and West Feliciana, East Baton Rouge, Washington, and St. Tammany. The Florida parishes stretch from the Mississippi state line on its eastern side and northern border on its eastern and northern borders to the Mississippi River on its western border and Lake Pontchartrain on its southern border.
Oh, okay. So that's not too far from New Orleans?
No, it's actually not. In New Orleans, we talk constantly about the North Shore. And the North Shore is mainly Washington and St. Tammany and part of Tangipahoa Parish, I think. So it's right across the lake from New Orleans on one side and then near Lake Maurepas and on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Okay.
Actually, there's a map that they can see exactly where the Florida parishes are located. Well, what motivated you to first get involved in genealogical research and specifically in the Florida parishes?
Well, my mother's family is from St. Helena Parish, and my father's family is from East Feliciana Parish. I first became interested in genealogy in 1993, after the death of my father. Like so many others, my father walked out of my life when I was a young girl, and I was raised by my mother. I had a great surrogate. I had a great family and great surrogate fathers in my grandfather, my uncles, and my older cousins. We are a very large family, and we are very protective of our own. So I was always told, you don't need him anyway. And I grew up thinking I didn't need him. But I've come to realize that I really did need him. And I always knew growing up that something was missing or somehow I was different. And I don't mean better or worse by that, but different.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew something was missing. So my father died in 1991 when I was pregnant with my youngest son, and his death, it brought on a mixture of emotions and feelings that were new to me, and that desire to know was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had been out of my life for so long, I did not know his family.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who they were because of my surname. It's very unique. But I was never afforded the opportunity to bond with them. So after a year or so of therapy, a lot of tears and emotion and all of that good stuff, I started to worry that this was going to take a hold on me and affect my ability to parent my own children.
Mm-hmm.
And the therapist suggested the research. And so I started to do that, and it is an addiction. And it has been so for a number of years. You know, growing up, and even today, I always tell my boys this, you know, God can take something bad and turn it into a blessing, and that has proven to be true in my situation. Genealogy is a natural fit for me. I have always loved listening to the elders tell their stories, and I love history. I love to read, and I love research. So it's a good thing.
Well, it sounds like it's a good thing, and to have a therapist with the foresight to suggest that you seek out genealogy to learn more about your father's side of the family, it sounds like it was probably, as you said, a good fit for you.
It really was, and that was the last, therapist that I went to.
Well,
it was all about making me feel whole, and it has done that. So,
and that's what genealogy has done for you. Well, that is wonderful. Well, would you, since we're talking about strategies and we're talking about genealogy, could you provide the listeners with the key research strategies you used to gather surnames in the Florida parishes?
Well, when I first started, I relied heavily on the elders in my family. They became annoyed with me after a while, but I would constantly question them and listen to their stories. So that's how I started with the initial names. But those initial names proved to be a key part of the research. Mm-hmm. I also realized early on that they were aging. My mother is 80 years old. So I wanted to get as much information as I possibly could out of them. At the time, I lived in Louisiana, so it was nothing for me to pick up the phone and make a call at family reunions. When people came to my mother's home, I was there to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I then started to collect vital records. I read a lot of funeral programs, obituaries. I surveyed cemeteries out there because headstones hold a lot of key information. You can even find parents' names on headstones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used that to help fill in the gaps. In 1999, I moved to Colorado, and this really hampered my research efforts. When I would visit, I spent as much time as possible at the Clerk of Court's office in Baton Rouge and at the LSU Library, going through their Louisiana and Lower Mississippi Valley collection, and at the State Archives, but I was limited. So really out of boredom and loneliness, I set a goal to document as many African Americans as possible from the Florida parishes for a book and for future researches. With that said, I started with my family, and I began to add the family of each spouse, and then I would include the siblings and their spouses and their children, and on and on and on and on. And so my sources were the U.S. Census, death certificates, and obituaries. I really love obituaries.
Mm-hmm.
The Louisiana Genealogy Web Tangible Whole Parish page is loaded with obituaries. And so, and there are thousands there, so that was pretty easy to use. I relied heavily on keyword searches when I was searching obituaries, and it helped me to narrow down my options. So basically, I would add a name, and I'd go on an adventure, and I'd see where it took me.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent hours upon hours and hours and hours doing this, especially during the winter months in Colorado. While in Colorado, I also read The Advocate in Baton Rouge every day and The Times-Picayune in New Orleans every day. And one of the skills that my family has, that we have excellent memory skills, so
mm-hmm.
it's easy for me to go through a set of obituaries real fast and pull out and see surnames that I can relate to. And that's basically how it started.
Now, you sound like you were engaged in a very detailed process. How long did this take, and what kind of database did you use to record the names?
Okay, I used Family Tree Maker to record everything. I'm not completely satisfied with that, but I haven't had the time yet to find something that I feel more meets my needs, okay? So
mm-hmm.
I use that, and Your second question was?
How long did it take
you? How long? Mm-hmm. I started the big database in about 2002. And as of tonight, the database has 10,284 names. And it includes the name, the general stuff. I also included in my database, also known as, because I found in censuses names were spelled differently and I wanted to be able to track that.
Mm-hmm.
I've also included in my database the mother's place of birth and the father's place of birth. I have military, and I also document what census that I find them on. Even though you can add that as a media file, I like to be able to look at it when I'm working in the database and not have to click too much. So I also show that on the record up front.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now you mentioned that you spent a lot of time reading the obituaries and the
yes.
Advocate and the Times-Picayune. Now,
yes.
These obituaries, did you download these obituaries and save the actual obituaries, or you just recorded the names?
I saved the obituaries in the database.
Mm-hmm.
I record the information in the person's individual record, but the complete obituary is saved as a person note within the records.
Mm-hmm.
And so the database is very, very, it contains a lot of data. It's very large. And I did that because I wanted to be able to source my information better, so
mm-hmm.
I put it within the person's file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's just amazing. Did you find what you would consider any common threads of surnames and particular parishes of the Florida parishes?
I found, Bernice, that mainly East and West Feliciana and St. Helena and the northern part of Livingston, the surnames they're frequent in those parishes. When
mm-hmm.
you get to Washington and to St. Tammany and East Baton Rouge, they're somewhat different. One thing that's very important, Tangipahoa is a Florida parish, but Tangipahoa was not split off from St. Helena until 1870.
Mm-hmm.
And so the names kind of go back and forth. And, you know, like I'm an Addison, but the Amaker surname, A-M-A-C-K-E-R,
mm-hmm.
there were Amakers in Baton Rouge. And then I come to New Orleans and I join a church, and there are Amakers in this church. Well,
mm-hmm.
I was able to give them the transcribed records of their grandfather and uncles being sold as slaves as far back as the 1830s. Okay.
And they probably had no idea that this had taken place.
They knew that they were slave, descended from slaves,
mm-hmm.
but they had no idea that that information was available out there to them. And
mm-hmm.
when I showed it to him, he was like, April, Nathaniel, that's my grandfather. That's my uncle. And it made him feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of the surnames are like the Addisons, the Amakers, the Bahams, Barrow,
mm-hmm.
Bickham, Bradford, Brumfield, lots and lots of Butlers, Felder. It goes on and on. And all of the, I think what's really important is that people that researchers understand that most of the people that settled in the Florida parishes came from Virginia and the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
East and West Feliciana Parish, most of those people came from the Tidewater area of Virginia. And from what I understand, the Tidewater area is much like the Felicianas. and the Felicianas had the largest slaveholding families in all of the parishes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else came from, like, South Carolina and North Carolina, and there was a large group that came from Philadelphia, and even I found documented that there was a Quaker among the group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why when I do the surname research, I guess my goal is to one day be able to prove that one of these owners brought a slave with them to Louisiana and to track that slave's descendants. I think that would be an awesome thing for me to be able to do.
Yes, that would be an awesome thing to do. And you're naming the various states where you're saying that kind of migration occurred. Were you able to track just when they actually entered the Florida parishes?
Most of the family names that I've collected, and I did send you this, they came into the Florida parish beginning around 1803.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Great Migration started, and so that's when most of them came in, around, 1803 and thereafter.
Mm-hmm. However, the Florida parishes wasn't really a part of the whole Louisiana Purchase, though.
They were a part of it, but Louisiana never laid claim to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was not until the settlers in the Felicianas became very upset with the Spanish government, and they went to war. They didn't go to war, but they got into a big scuffle, and then the United States laid claim to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, we're going to take just a really quick break and come back and continue this discussion. Just a quick break, okay?
Okay.
At the National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and you're listening to Stephanie Martin Quiet. Well, Stephanie, what makes this research unique?
Well, I lost my notes here, Bernice. I was busy responding in the chat room. I'm sorry about that. As I said earlier, I'm fascinated with surnames. I know that slaves did not always take the name of their owners. So to me, how did they arrive at their chosen surname? That's a big question. As you said earlier, I'm a Quiet. Originally,
mm-hmm.
the name was pronounced Quiate, according to the elders.
Mm-hmm.
So far, every African-American that I've encountered with my surname is a descendant of John and Sarah, my great-grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John states that he is born in Virginia. Sarah says Missouri. I can find the surname in both Virginia and Missouri, but I can never find them as a slave, only as free people of color. And when I say I can never find them as a slave, it's I can never find a slave owner on the 1850 or the 1860 slave schedules that shows with that name that have slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've only been able to find one person who showed the quiet, who was shown as a free person of color. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the question for me is the origin of the name. Now, and as I said, we pronounce it quiet. It's spelled Q-U-I-E-T-T-E. But according to the ancestors, the original spelling and pronunciation was Kiate, Q-U-I-A-T-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
So my big question is, are we related to Chief Kiate? Chief Kiate was with the Miami tribe. He was out of Hamilton County, Ohio. There's a chief name, there's a stream named after him there, and there is the town of Okeana is named after his daughter. I can
mm-hmm.
find nothing else on Chief Kiate. So if we're not related in that way, is it an Irish name, and are we of the McQuaid clan? Or is it both? Were we slaves? Were we free people of color? Is there Native American blood? I do not know. And the big question is, how did they come to arrive in East Feliciana Parish?
Well, have you been able to answer that question?
No.
So you're still searching?
I am still searching, and I will be searching until I go home. Okay, because it's such an odd name.
Mm-hmm. Well, now tell me something, because I know you've also been looking at plantation owners and surnames. Can you share your journey of connecting plantation owners and their origin with the surnames?
Well, when I really started this research and started looking at, it started with me looking at slave schedules and then recognizing that a lot of those names on those slave schedules were names of families and people that I knew in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I'm a talker and I'm nosy to a certain extent, I knew that, like, the O'Connor family originated in East Feliciana Parish, and they moved to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to wonder where the name came from. How did they get to East Feliciana Parish? And that's what kind of started that. I just feel a strong desire to connect plantation owners with African Americans to try to really get people back to where it really started at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that I'm a Martin, and there was a slave owner in St. Helena Parish who was named James Martin. I'm not really a Martin, but I am a Martin. Anyway, my great-grandfather was James Martin. So where did James Martin come from? Did he bring my James Martin, you know, bring his mother or his father with him? I just want to understand more about that, hoping that it could trace people back to the East Coast and back to their original ancestors.
That's right. That's a good point. That's
okay.
Definitely a good point. Mm-hmm.
That's to me, the ultimate goal of all my research is to find out where it started at. I want to know. I want to know where it started with. I want to know if I have family in Virginia, and I want to connect with those people. About a year ago, I connected with a cousin that I had been looking for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Her family left Louisiana. They moved to Portsmouth, Virginia. They disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a query. She started getting interested in her family, and we hooked up. She's a big, beautiful black woman, just like my mom and my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a, she looks just like my brother. We have a lot of the same characteristics, even health-wise, which is very important. We have some of the same issues. So I just want to know anybody who's in my family. I know that's a big dream, but that's what I would like to know.
Mm-hmm. And then
I want to know them.
Right, and it looks like the surname Search is your entry point to perhaps connecting with a member of your family.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
Let's continue this discussion about the plantation owners, or for that matter, let's go a little step further. Have you encountered any surprises in your research?
Well, the main one I encountered was that I'm not a Martin, I am an Addison. And I want to say this in case, you know, because it's kind of been an issue in my family. I believe that I have to reflect the records as they truly are. I don't believe in hiding stuff. I am an Addison. Now, that doesn't change the fact that Jim Martin raised my grandfather to be an awesome man. He is the most honorable man that I've ever met. I've tried to raise my boys to be like him. However, I don't have Martin blood running through my veins. It's Addison blood. And so that was one of the things that I found out. I found out my maternal great-grandparents were John Walker Banks from Virginia and Josephine Young. And at least that's what their marriage record states. I spent a lot of time trying to find out who her parents were, because she was born, they were married in 1869.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got her death certificate, it shows me that her father was William Self. And when I looked at the naming patterns in my family, Bernice, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The name Berlin, that's a self, she had a brother named Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
The name Clarence. So it's that was a big shock for me, because I spent about 5 years looking for the Young family, and she was herself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I also discovered that one of my quiet ancestors is memorialized at the African American the African American Civil War Museum in D.C.
Yeah,
that was a wonderful thing to find out. And I've met a lot of, I've reconnected with a lot of family that I never knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
Genealogy is always full of surprises, and it's always an opportunity to learn somebody else and to meet somebody else.
Well,
okay?
I think that's absolutely wonderful, because genealogy does help you connect with a large group of people. Now, I understand that you have had an opportunity to look at the labor contracts.
Right.
The Freedom Bureau.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much for those.
Well, you're welcome. And so what have you discovered in looking at the various plantations? And these are the labor contracts for only St. Helena, is that correct?
Yes. The labor contracts are only for St. Helena, and I actually found some of my ancestors on those labor contracts, and it explains some of the naming patterns. Like, I really believe now that the surname Banks was shortened from Bankston, because I've always kind of thought that, but then I found on the labor contracts Berlin Banks, and he was on the plantation of the Bankstons. So now I really do believe that the name was shortened, and that makes me take the research in a totally different direction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you share with us some of the other names you found on the labor contracts as it relates to the plantation owners and their surnames?
Okay, so let's see here. Bankston, I just talked about that one. the Bridges surname. That surname is out of South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. And they were a pretty deep, they owned a good number of slaves in St. Helena Parish. The Day surname, D-A-Y, they were from North and South Carolina. They owned a good number of slaves. The Felder surname, F-E-L-D-E-R, mm-hmm. they were from Georgia, and they owned about 40 slaves, and that name is more prevalent in Livingston Parish than in St. Helena Parish. The George surname, now they owned about 55 slaves. They show to be from Georgia and Mississippi, but that is one of my family surnames, and I have records to prove that they also migrated from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hutchinson surname, that is out of Georgia. Kemp, K-E-M-P, they are out of Anson County, North Carolina. The Lee surname, of course, my surname, the Martin surname, the McMichael surname out of Orangeburg, South Carolina. Newsom and Neesom.
Mm-hmm.
This name is from Tennessee and North Carolina, and they were in St. Helena Parish. Let's see, what else do I have here? The Strickland surname, one of the largest slaveholders out there, and they were from Georgia and South Carolina. The Vining, V-I-N-I-N-G, from
mm-hmm.
Georgia and South Carolina. And the Womacks, who were one of the largest slaveholders, they were from Georgia. And I got this information by comparing the 1860 slave schedules with the 1860 census, and then I used the plantation records or the labor contracts to get the names, and then I counted the number of slaves on the slave schedule, and then I went to the 1860 census and determined their place of origin.
My goodness. Well, that is some fantastic work to be able to do that.
Okay. It keeps me busy.
I can imagine it keeps you busy. Is this published somewhere so that others can see those various surnames and where they originated and where they're located in the various Florida parishes?
I tell you what, Bernice, this research was done. I spent about this specific research was done this weekend. I spent about 10 hours doing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who wants it, I will email it to them because it is not published.
Mm-hmm.
I just did this. But if you want it, I'll email it to you.
Okay. And, Stephanie, there's a question here, and they say it's a long shot, but do any of your banks connect with any Hancocks?
Not to my knowledge, but I am writing that down.
Okay.
Because what I have found is that sometimes a tip is given or you get a bit of information, and
mm-hmm.
you might not use it at that moment in time, but
mm-hmm.
later on down the road it will connect.
Mhm. Mhm.
Okay.
Now, Stephanie, what tips would you offer to others who may want to conduct similar research to what you've just presented to us?
Well, and the one thing I believe to my heart is that you start with the oral history of the elders in your family, and you record what they say, either in a notebook or electronically. That's
mm-hmm.
the basis of all my research. I
mm-hmm.
still refer back to notes that I took when I first started this.
Mm-hmm.
I would also just suggest that you learn about the history of the area that you're researching. You know, the Florida parish, Eastern Feliciana, was plantation country. Mm-hmm. But the other Florida parishes were not plantation country because the soil is not good in the other Florida parishes for large-scale crops. So people in like St. Helena and Livingston and St. Tammany and all of that, they've made their living, a lot of them made their living off of the forest, the pine trees out there.
Mm-hmm.
Livingston and St. Tammany had a large resort community. Parts of Livingston and St. Tammany have large fishing communities, which help support the economy. So you really need to learn about the history of the area that you're researching, and
mm-hmm.
that can help you as you get on with the research. I also really, really, really consider naming patterns. My oldest child, his middle name is Fred, and that's my grandfather's name, and that's also my other brother's name. My youngest, his middle name is Clarence. That's my great uncle, my uncle, and my first cousin's name. There are two Dimples and two Ellas. I can trace some of these names back to around 1830 using the 1870 census.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for naming patterns. I know that in Southeast Louisiana, it is a big, big thing, naming patterns.
Yeah.
Another thing is, when I study the census, when I look at the census, I this is personal opinion, it seemed to me that the census takers were not always the most intelligent people, and they were. But I know they were horrible spellers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't look for a name just like you would spell it today.
Yes.
You have to look for all kinds of ways. I am helping a family, and the grandfather's name is Elijah. On one census, they spelled his name L-O-D-G-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the different spellings and pay very close attention to that. I don't research just, my family's from St. Helena, but I don't just research St. Helena. I research all the surrounding parishes.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially early on, people really migrated a lot. And so, and then parish boundaries or county lines and stuff, they shift and they change.
That's right.
Okay? So you have to be very much aware of that. One of the most important things is make sure you're backing up your data.
Mm-hmm.
Computer crashes. A computer can crash. You can get a virus. And
mm-hmm.
in Louisiana, we have hurricanes.
Yes.
So I back up on a regular basis, and I have an emergency bag with all of my papers for the house, the boys' birth certificates, and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In that bag is a flash drive that contains all this data.
Great.
Because it could be lost like that. So, and then organize your data. I'm not the best at that, but that's one of my goals for 2012. Is to get better organized. And finally, it would be to share the information. Because I've not been in Louisiana for a while, I kind of stopped doing that. But I think it's really, really, really important that we start, as genealogists, that we start sharing information with each other.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to document our history. We have to be the ones to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those are some basic tips.
Well, I think those tips are absolutely essential. And, you know, there's someone has just posted, it's Angela, just posted, it's time to start using the clouds as well.
Yeah.
That we have to, you know, while we're walking around with it on flash drive, we might just have to put it up there in the cloud so that we can always retrieve that information when possible.
Yes, and actually, I am thinking seriously about that. because I don't want to. I don't want to lose it. I've lost it before, and I never want that to happen again. So I think that's a very good suggestion.
Yes, because that's just a horrifying feeling to realize that all of your research is gone, and you then have to turn around and try to replicate all of that, the hours and hours that you've put into that research.
Yes.
Well, Stephanie.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just noticed Angela's posted in here, and it can be accessed from any internet connection, and that's true.
That is true.
So if it's up there in the clouds, I don't have to. I can get it anywhere, or my kids can get it anywhere. So
right. And have you started
important.
Using Dropbox?
I have not heard of Dropbox.
I've started using Dropbox, and it's very I'll send you something. And I'll send you a link to how you can get into Dropbox, and then I'll drop something in your box for you.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
Well, what
I
are
am,
your...
Let
Go
me
ahead.
Just say this. I am posting my email address in the room for anybody who wants to get this list or who wants to contact me. Feel free to do so through my email address.
Thank you so much. How generous of you to offer your email address, and hopefully it'll give everybody an opportunity to write to you. But also, why don't you share with everyone where they can find your work, because you are published.
Well, I am published in the Louisiana Genealogical Register. My main work, though, is I post online.
Mm-hmm.
I post a lot of stuff online. So I've posted at Christine's, and I have stuff posted at Afrogenius. I want to get back into that. As I said, we really need to start sharing information more. But my main place that I post is the African American Archives for the Louisiana Genealogy Web. I work hard to find slave documents, such as court records, you know, manumissions, missions, anything like that that identifies a slave, and to get that stuff posted. It covers the state of Louisiana, and so you may find something there that you're looking for. I work alone. I've found that other researchers, I found, and I'll just say this, other parish managers are not forthcoming with information for me, so I have to find this stuff basically on my own. But there are lots and lots and lots of slave sales there and wills and stuff like that that identify slaves, identify the owners, where they came from and stuff like that. A lot of records on plantations there, obituaries, and newspaper articles. So if you check that site out, you may find something there that you need.
And I've posted the site so that others can check it out, Stephanie.
Yes.
So what are your future research plans?
Okay, so let's see. What do I want to do? First, I wish I could quit my job today and just... spend the rest of my life doing that, but that's not possible. So now that the boys are out the house, both in Colorado and I'm in Louisiana, I do have several goals. The major one is to build a website or to write a book that will help other researchers and future researchers. All of this stuff needs to be put somewhere, and I want to do that. I want to delve further into slave owner research and how it relates to the people of the Florida parishes. I think it would be just so great if I could document, show more of a link there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been helping members of my church and of my community by doing their family trees, and I want to continue with that. I'm also trying to figure out how to get young people interested in genealogy, and so that they can know more about their ancestors because New Orleans right now is just, they're killing each other, and I just try to relate to maybe if they knew more about where they came from and what their ancestors had to go through, then maybe that would help them put down the guns, give them some pride, something to believe in. So I really want to do that. And finally, when Chris graduates from law school, that's 5 years away, and if it's God's will, I like to spend the rest of my life learning and sharing as much information as I can about this region of Louisiana. I just want to spend my time recording cemeteries. I want to be in the libraries. I want to be in the courthouses. I want to learn as much about my people as possible. So,
well, Stephanie, I feel that you're going to achieve that goal. You're coming across with such great passion and such a desire to not only learn and to share, that what you intend to do, you will do, because it's in
that.
You.
I appreciate that. You know, I should not have gone to school I went to college in speech therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I should have majored in. I should have majored in history, because this is, I love history. I dream about what life used to be like for them, and I just want to know more. So,
yes, and you know, I think many of us who become addicted to genealogy, we reach that stage in our lives where we find history is fascinating. Learning about our ancestors and where they lived and how they lived is something that brings such great joy and such great pleasure. And so this is an area that, as you were trying to and saying that you want to get more youth involved, perhaps by understanding that, they could develop another sense of self, rather than I'm nobody, I am somebody, I am a descendant of someone great, and our people did not start as slaves or as enslaved people, but as great people. And if that message could get out and people could understand their history, what a difference it might make. And you know, this is one of the things, I guess, that makes it good to listen to people every week, because they have so much to offer and such great passion. And so that's something that I hear in you.
You know, Bernice, they don't teach our kids their history. They don't get it anymore. And I just think you got to know something about where you're coming from to move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and I use it with my boys. My boys know, there are certain things you don't do. You look at who you are. You are Martin. You are Banks. You are Quiet. You don't do that. We expect better. So hopefully one day I can get that done.
Well, hopefully you will. And Stephanie, I want to just thank you for taking time out of your schedule tonight to share with all of us your research. Hopefully we'll have more who will want to replicate your research. And what would happen if all around the United States we could identify all of the surnames and the origin of people and connect that with where they migrated from or where they entered the United States? I think that would bring us even closer to understanding who we are as a people.
Yeah, because we are a power people. We are strong people, and we are not quitters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and hopefully, and the best thing, and I'd like to leave this question with everybody, you know, what's going to happen to your research when you go on? My baby son told me that he would take it over for me. But until that time, Bernice, I never thought about that. Who's going to take care of this research when you're gone?
Well, that's a good question to ask, too. And how do you get that research out to other people?
That's right.
Through publishing, through giving presentations, to having your voice on Blog Talk Radio where you're sharing that with others. But certainly it's not research that needs to stay in the closet your database. It's research needs to be shared throughout the United States.
Yes, it should be. So that's my goal. My major goal for this year is to, I have lots of stuff to transcribe, and like for the Florida parishes, I have over 2,000 marriages that are certified marriages. So I need to start, and that's files I can send to Christine, and I can send to Afrogenius, and somebody else will have access to them.
Right.
So.
Well, that would be of great assistance to those who are doing research in the Florida parishes to find that information. Well, I just want to tell people about what's in store for you next week. My guest next week is Thomas Allen Harris. Thomas Allen Harris is the founder and the producer of a number of programs, one of which is called the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion Roadshow. And Thomas is the founder and president of Chimpanzee Productions. And so he's going to take us through a very lively discussion on searching for identity, family, and spirituality through sharing family stories and images in a virtual, as he called it, family reunion format called the Digital Diaspora Family Reunion. Chimpanzee Productions is currently producing another program called Through a Lens Darkly, and this is Black photographers and the immersion of a people, a feature-length documentary and multimedia project that explores the role of photography in shaping the identity, aspirations, and social emergence of African Americans from slavery to present. So this is a show that I really hope that you all will join. Come on, listen to Thomas, ask questions, talk about what you have in your closet, what you have in the shoe boxes, under your bed. Talk about pulling those pictures out and sharing those pictures. I've seen a lot of sharing taking place just this week on Facebook, where we've just seen so much and just beautiful, beautiful black images. So this is going to be part of the discussion next week. Stephanie, I don't know if we have any questions. Anybody in the chat have any questions? I don't see any questions coming out of the chat right now. So I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight and providing the listeners with just such valuable information concerning your 10,000 name database. It's just amazing that you were able to gather all of those names. So
I want to say this opportunity, Bernice. I really do.
Well, thank you so much. So good night, everyone, and remember, your ancestors left footprints. Therefore, you should follow the clues that are presented to you through oral history, family records, research at the National Archives and Beyond. Thank you for joining Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. Good night, and I look forward to you joining me next Thursday. Good night, Stephanie. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.